السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضور says that today I would like to mention about some companions of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and such inspiring examples are I would like to present before you, which clearly indicate that how they were firmly established in the firm belief in Allah Almighty. And what sort of total dependence upon Allah Almighty they had, and what sort of love they had with Allah Almighty. And then on the other side, Allah Almighty also showed great examples of their love for Allah Almighty and helping them. The first incident is related by Hazrat Khalifatul Musi Awwal رضي الله تعالى عنه, that in Kashmir there was an old person who had learnt the definitions of various technical things, and he used to ask the definition of various branches of knowledge, and whatever he would describe, then this scholar would always pick up a fault in that definition, because he had the wording memorized by him of the clear definition, and in this way he wanted to establish the authority of his knowledge, superiority of his knowledge upon other people. Hazrat Khalifa Awwal says that in the presence of Raja of Kashmir, he asked me directly, what is the meaning of hikmah? And he asked such a question that if when I will explain, then he will find fault with that. Hazrat Muslim Maud رضي الله تعالى عنه says that from shirk and from all types of up to all types of indecency, avoiding that is called hikmah. And he asked me, where have you found this definition? Hazrat Khalifa Awwal says that nearby there was a physician from Delhi, and he was also a Hafiz. So then I asked him that, can you read out the translation of the fourth ruku of Surah Bani Israel? Zalika mimma oha ilayka rabbuka. So then that was done. Then this person was completely surprised. And this is from 32 to 41 verse. This ruku is there, and Allah Almighty has mentioned these points there. So this type of ulama are to be found in every age. The purpose of them is not to spread the knowledge, but simply to have the greatness of their knowledge established on the minds of the people. They don't have the real taqwa in their heart. This person used to challenge the ulama, and nowadays the ulama are even such people, and even in those days it was like that they used to try to impress the people with their intellectuality. And on TV, different shows are there, such type of people, they make appearance there. And with this reference, I would like to say to youngsters of the Jamaat that with reference to these programs which are coming on television, they should not be unnecessarily be influenced by these so-called scholars. And there is recently one alim in Pakistan, he has recently tried to influence and attract and attach the youngsters to him. He has mentioned one point that in the Holy Quran it is nowhere written that it is essential for the ladies to observe parda. And this was only something which was only for the wives of the Holy Prophet. While the fact is that in Ahzab, when the instruction is there for the wives of the Prophet, similarly for the other ladies of the Ummah, the same instruction is there. Allah Almighty says, Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minina. Yudrina alayhinna min jalabibihinna. That, O Prophet, you ask your wives and your daughters and also the wives of the believing people that when they go out, then they should take over their sheet upon them and cover their bosom with that. So they also tried to, you know, take this meaning that the sheet should come, scarf should come on the bosom, but even if the head is not covered, that's all right. So people have shown different types of reaction. They've shown, and because of that campaign which is going against parda. But generally in Muslim countries, now there is no parda of the head nor of any other part of the body. And this is what I heard. I didn't listen to this program, but somebody told me that he has also thrown this point that in the Holy Quran it is not established that that there is a need of any khilafat or the khilafat will be established. Yes, for these people it may not be, but those people who do not believe in the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, don't believe in the Imam of the age, for them, nor they can have the Khilafat established in them, and nor they can get the blessings of the Khilafat which are attached to it. But just incidentally I mentioned this one, the other incident which I want to relate. That is also of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Awwal. Abdul Gadir Sahib Saudagar Mal, he has related that once Hazrat Promised Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to Lahore, and then and Dr. Sir Muhammad Iqbal Sahib used to study in college in those days. One professor, Mr. Arnold, in the same college, he said that the subject of Trinity cannot be understood by any person. No mind can comprehend that. So then Dr. Sahib Allama Iqbal, he came to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Awwal, and he told this what he has stated. And then he requested Hazrat Khalifa Awwal that you give me the reply, the answer to this one. So then he said that you go to the professor and tell him that if your claim is right, then Hazrat Masih and his companions would not have understood these people because they were also from Asia. First he said that no Asian can comprehend that. So at that point he said that as if he has not made such a claim. And it is also mentioned that in a conference in Europe, again he raised the same question, but he couldn't get any satisfactory answer. Then another incident is related by Hazrat Maulana Ghulam Rasool Sahab Rajaki, that during the time, blessed time of the Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, when this plague was spreading in various parts of India, so he went to district Gujarat, and Chaudhary Sultan Alam Sahib, he was a devout Ahmadi. When I stayed with him for a few days, during my stay, every night, I used to go up to the top of his house on the rooftop and do the tabligh and educate the people in those speeches, as I used to warn them against the punishment of the plague. So in the morning, some people from that village came to me, that they said that you have mentioned in your speeches those people who do not believe in the promised Messiah, you have warned those people, but you should know that in the Gotriala is the place is very lofty place, and the climate and the air is so pure and so good that these germs of the epidemic disease cannot reach here. So Mauli Sahib says that I told them that this is right, but you tell me that before me, was there any missionary before me here who has preached the message of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam to you? He said, no one before me has come there. So then Maulvi Sahib says that this is the reason that your village is safe so far, but after my preaching now, and after my preaching and your denial, now if this village is safe from the punishment of Allah Almighty, then I would understand that the climate and the fresh air of this is effective, and this admonition which Allah Almighty has given, that we never ever send the punishment to the people unless we send a messenger there. So that would be and then he says that it was the doings of Allah that I said this and came back, and soon after that there were the rats started dying there, and the atmosphere and the was such that people started running from that village away. So there are different ways of sending the punishments of Allah. In case of plague, the warning was given well before. It was conveyed by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he mentioned the signs of the earthquakes. And nowadays the punishments are there in the world in so many ways. But these people do not like to recognize the Allah Almighty and nor the Imam of the Age, and nor they want to recognize the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this sense is completely gone, and the destruction upon destruction is coming upon them. But these people are paying no attention to it. It is Allah Almighty who can give them understanding and protect the whole world from this type of calamities. And Malik Salahuddin Sahib, in his narration, he writes that Maulana Bakapuri Sahib, who was a companion of the promised Messiah salatu wasalam, that Khalifatul Masih the II in the area of Sindh, he established a mission for Tabligh in Sindh. And Maulana Bakapuri Sahib was appointed as Amir al-Tabligh in this area. Then Sajogi, the nation, then it was the wave of renegation was there going on in Sindh. And Maulana Sahib, he came to Sindh, and after reading certain books, and he was able to speak in that language. And this was also an example that this was their dedication and their zeal, that after a few months he was able to speak that language, and then he started conveying the message. And first of all, he confronted the Arya Samaji successfully in that area. And these people were trying to mislead the innocent Sindhis. Then Maulvi Sahib used to reach those areas and establish them firmly in Islam. And there was the result of the long concerted effort was that Satyogi, the people, the Arya Samaj were completely disappointed from them, and this wave of renegation and apostasy was also silenced. And next year this incident happened, that in 1924, that ulama and other leaders and scholars, they all stood against Maulvi Sahib. And here and there debates started taking place. And Maulana Afghanpuri Sahib used to be alone. And non-Ahmadi ulama, they used to come in great number, in large number. And sometimes they used to be nearly one dozen. But by the grace of Allah, always, he was always victorious and dominant. And as a result of that, more and more people paid attention to Ahmadiyyat. And in some jamaats, in some places, jamaats were established in Sindh. And then people started listening more and more about us. And the ulamas were also influenced and impressed by that, this progress of the jamaat. And they used to say that Maulana Bakapuri is someone that we cannot compete with him. And the serious-minded people paid more attention to him. And by the grace of Allah, they were unable to accept Ahmadiyyat, many of them. So in 1928, despite his ailment, he was doing his tabligh in going to various, visiting various jamaats in various places, cities. At that time, Sindhi people in large number, there was only one jamaat by that time, and there were a couple of families. But after that, by the grace of Allah, 50 jamaats were established there. Maulana Bisharat Bashir Sahib writes that Sanjogi Qom, the people, so then they continued to have the matrimonial contacts with the other people, and that was the cause of their spiritual weakness. And later on, these people drifted away from Islam and Ahmadiyyat. So therefore, Ahmadis even today should remember that some people become careless and emotional decisions are taken, and they conduct their marriages in other people, and the result is very bad, and eventually the whole family is affected by that and they go away. So then he says that Maulana Sahib came to know that in Ladkhana nearby they are going to carry out this campaign, Arya people. So he reached there. And he spoke to the chief of the area that the mullahs, they did not help us. He said that mullahs did not help us. The Muslim landlord of the village said that Maulvi Sahib invited him for food. And he said that I am not going to have your feast. I will not accept it. And started crying, and people were greatly impressed. He was asked to take the food again. He refused, and the chief, he said that breaking the covenant is bad, but nothing is greater. He always said nothing is greater than the faith, and he understood this point. And he said that we will not leave Islam, and we will send them the letter that they should not come here. So you write the letter, and he wrote the letter that Islam is a living religion, and we invite even you to come and accept it. So none of us is going to leave their faith, and if anyone would like to come here, then he would be utterly disgraced. So after that, Maulvi Sahib had the food with them, and the Aryas, they were completely frustrated and defeated. Regarding Maulvi Sarwar Shah Sahib, there is a narration that the knowledge of Hazrat Maulvi Sahib was a great scholar, and the ulamas were greatly impressed by that. That is clear from this incident. He was served as Mufti Silsila for a long time. Sayyid Sahib, he was staying in Haripur for some treatment, and he asked a person that who is this Maulvi? There was a Maulvi, he asked about him. He said that this is Maulvi Najibullah of Court Minhajuddin, and he wants to have a debate with you. And he has heard that Maulvi Sahib is here and he's a great scholar. He said, okay, I am a great debater, so let me go. The non-Ahmadi Maulvi said that I am a great debater, I would like to have a debate with him. So So he said that the new thing, that is the Ahmadiyyat, whatever you have acquired, we are going to have a debate on this very place. Next day he waited, and the opponent Maulvi did not come. This is a very interesting incident. On the far end of the bazaar of the Haripur, there is some place vacant, and then there is a Skandarpur bazaar there. He said that from the Haripur bazaar, he started from there and went into the middle, and he saw that the Maulvi Sahib and his companions are coming. But as soon as they saw him, they turned back and ran away. So then the Maulvi Sahib says that the Maulvi started running away. And Maulvi Sahib says that I also started running after them. And I thought they are going to Jamia Mosque, but they didn't go there. So I went to the other side. Then I saw that Maulvi Sahib is going through a pond of mud and going towards a garden beyond that. So that a very well-built person was standing there, and he was laughing so much as if the tears were coming out from his eyes. So he said that that this Maulvi Minhajuddin, he went to Skandarpur yesterday, and he took the books, and he started preparing for this debate today. And the whole night he went on reading the books, and in the morning when he came for Tahajjud prayer, and he asked the other Maulvi, asked him, what have you been doing? You didn't sleep the whole night. He said, I have to have a debate with Maulvi Sarvishar Sahib. I was searching the references, but whichever tafsir I pick up, in that the mention of the death of Isa and the life of Isa is both mentioned. So there was no good argument, which is just dumbfounding the opponent, that I couldn't find. So he went to the Maulvi in Skandarpur, and he told this Maulvi who was preparing for the debate, that because Maulvi Sarvar Sahib and I am completely disappointed by this situation, and people also tempted me to have debate with these people, but I did not agree to it, because Maulvi Sahib is the one who will just defeat the whole district. And after the result of having a debate with that all the Maulvis in the whole district would be running before him, and the more he will talk to you, that will be more dangerous, and the ulamas will be disgraced. So this Pahlwan, this stalwart, said that this is the reason why these Maulvis, by looking at you, they are running away. And this is the same situation. The ulamas, they claim so much, they come on the TV, but and then they ask, when they are asked that they should have a debate, then they don't give any reply to that one. So this is the revelation of the promised Messiah, Nusirtu bir Rob, that you have been given, supported with this great influence upon others, that is affecting these people. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Sani, Hazrat Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib, he relates about him that in Qadian once Padri Zwemer, he came. He was the most well-known American priest of the time. He was the editor of a newspaper as well, and he was in all the Christian missionary societies. He enjoyed a very prestigious position. He had heard about Qadian, so when he came to India, and after visiting other places, then he came to Qadian, and along with him there was another missionary with the name of Gordon. So Dr. Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib Marhum, he was alive in those days, so he showed him round the Qadian, and the Christian missionary, he in a very hysterical way, there was no town committee in Qadian in those days, and moreover these smaller villages and towns in Pakistan, India, generally in the street there is sometime filth, there was a lot of filth in the streets in those days, and this missionary Zwemer, he started laughing. We have seen we have seen Qadian, and also we have seen the filth in the town of the new Messiah. And Khalifa Sahib replied to him, and he replied that still the government, the dominance of the previous Messiah is still there, but the dominance of the new Messiah is yet to be established. And he was greatly put to shame. by this reply. Pir Siraj ul Haq Sahib Nomani, he relates about Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib Kapurthalvi, that Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib of Kapurthala and one of his disciple or a follower, Maulvi Rashid Ahmed Gungohi, then regarding the life and death of Hazrat Masih, he had a discussion with him, and also in this discussion the follower of that Maulvi was defeated. He couldn't establish the point, but finally the point came to this one, that such a long age of any person, did anybody was lived so long, 120 years, is it possible? He was also without any answer to this one. And then finally he wrote a letter to Maulvi Rashid Ahmed, and in reply the Maulvi Sahib wrote that yes, such a long age is possible, and it's only 2000 years, it may be even more than 2000 years. Look and just listen to the argument, and he said that in the time of Hazrat Adam, Shaitan is living still on, and several thousand of years have passed by. And in the reply to this one, Maulvi Zafar Ahmed Sahib said that it was the question of the age of the human beings, not of Satan. But do you think that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was from among the Satan? Why you have given that example? And this is only your claim. Maulvi Rashid Sahib did not understand the difference between the claim and the proof. And there is a claim, and after that the argument or the reason is presented. So there is a difference between the two. So he doesn't understand the difference between the two. That what is the proof of the fact that the same Satan is still alive and he is enjoying such a long life? And that is the criticism he raised. And after listening to this reply of Munshi Sahib, then his follower wrote a letter to Maulvi Sahib, that this reply that he has given, and his follower wrote to Maulvi Rashid Sahib that this is the reply given by Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib. So then Maulvi Rashid Sahib replied to his follower that your opponent is a Mirzai. So tell him that we do not want to have any discussion with Mirzai, and you also discontinue talking to them. So this is the situation. This was past, this is present, and this will remain. And this is the attitude of the so-called mullahs today. Hafiz Dr. Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib, about him it is related. There is a narration that he went to the court of Nawab Sahib of Rampur, and he said, Assalamu Alaikum, in loud voice, which was against the etiquette of the court, to say Assalamu Alaikum such loudly. That was not the custom there. So he wouldn't bow before the Nawab Sahib as the other courtiers would do. So they always used to do like that, bow down to show their respect and then say the salam. He wouldn't do that. So when Dr. Sahib was reminded about that, he said that I do not bow to anybody except Allah Almighty. So Nawab Sahib, he warned him that strict action will be taken, I will transfer you and this and that. So he was a doctor, he was a government official. He said that your neck is in the hand of my father, my God, and he can remove you at any time. And he challenged him right in that court, and the history bears the fact that Dr. Sahib wrote a letter for prayer to the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Aqdas Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam wrote back that my beloved Dr. Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib, may Allah protect you, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, I have received your card, I will definitely pray for you, but you also very steadfastly, you keep yourself very steadfast, never be disheartened. Allah's favor is everywhere. And when you are in a journey or away from home, then one should seek the help of Allah Almighty more than ever before. And then, by the grace of Allah, this prayer of the Promised Messiah Allah, showed the result. And this Nawab, at the recommendation of the English resident, when he was proved to be a mental case, then he was removed and dismissed. And the one who was threatening Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib to be dismissed, he himself was dismissed. Hazrat Khalifa Awwal relates that at one time I was in Lahore. I was on the railway station in Lahore, and I reached there. There are certain there were some causes that I went to a mosque nearby, and when I was doing my ablution for the evening prayer, and the brother of Ali Muhammad Hussain Batalvi, Muhammad Ali, he came. Ali Muhammad came, and he said that that when you are acting upon Quran and Hadith, then what is the question of Nasikh and Masukh? This question that some verses of the Holy Quran have been abrogated. So what is the question about that? So I told them that this is nothing. He was not well educated, although he was a teacher, but he was not very much a teacher, very much a knowledgeable person. So he mentioned this to his brother Mauli Muhammad Hussain Batalvi, and he was this man was very young and very active in those days, and Khalifa Abul says that I was praying, and this Maulvi Sahib came, and he was moving forward and backward, and he said that you said to my brother there is no mention of Nasikh and Mansukh in the Holy Quran. So then he asked me that, have you read the book of Abu Muslim Asfahani? He was also not believing in that one. Hazrat Khalifa Abul said that then we are become two. Do you know Sayyid Ahmad of Muradabad? He is a great person there. He said that Rampur, Lucknow, Bhopal, and all these people, I know them very well, but I don't know him. But he said that he is also not believing in this one. So then I said, okay, that now we are three who do not believe in this Nasikh and Mansukh. Then Maulvi Sahib said that these are all those people who are bidati, believing in innovations. And some alim has written that those people who do not believe in Nasakh, they are bidat. Then you are two. And I tell you a very clear, simple solution of Nasakh and Mansukh. And you recite any verse which is Mansukh, cancelled. And if he is going to read out of those five verses which are controversial or quoted, then what is going to be the result of that? That was before the Hazrat Khalifa Awwal met the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Allah Almighty will teach me, only then I will be able to reply to him. He recited a verse, and I said that in that book which you also believe, there is the reply to this answer, this question. And then I asked him that, can you recite another? Then he kept quiet. And ulama have this fear that they may not be disgraced. So he thought better not to speak and keep quiet. But nowadays the ulamas are not there. This height of audacity is there in them. And later on, they also had the same situation later on, these people. And the same pattern is being followed by these people of this age as well. Hazrat Khalifat Masih Awwal رضي الله تعالى عنه says that, my Allah, he has been my treasurer all the time. This is an example of his complete trust in Allah Almighty. Because I always trusted in my Allah. And it is Allah Almighty who is mighty, who is always helping me. And at one time in Medina, I didn't have anything on me. So much so that there was no food for me to eat at night. So when I performed the wuzu and went for Isha prayer, then a soldier asked me on the way that somebody is calling you. And I said that I have to go for prayer. But he said, no, I don't know. I am just a soldier. I work on the command, so you have to go there. Otherwise, I will have to take you by force. So, under compulsion, I had to go there. He took me to a house. There was a rich officer. He had a very big plate of a sort of Indian sweet in front of that was in front of him. And he asked me, what is this? I said, this is called jalebi in our country. And he said that after listening about that, I got this prepared. And I thought that I asked that I will give first to some Indian. And I thought of you, and that's why I have called you. So now you move forward and eat it. I said that, he said that, Khalifa Abul said that azan has been there. The time for the prayer is there. So we will send somebody that you send somebody that he will inform you by the start of the prayer. So I had something and I had my full, and then the message came that the prayer is ready. So then I went there and offered the prayer. So in this way Allah Almighty provided all the food. And next morning he said, when I was cleaning up my books and other things, and suddenly I found a pound there, which I had never picked up the wealth of anybody else, and never ever I have seen the wealth of anybody else, and I knew it very well, that at this place there was nobody else who had stayed in this place, so therefore I took it up, considering it as a gift from Allah Almighty, and thanked Allah Almighty that this will be good for my health for a long time. Hazrat Hafiz Roshan Ali Sahib says that one day I had not taken my food. I was waiting in I was busy in my food. I was busy in my study, the class of the Khalifatul Masih Awwal which he has to attend, and the time for food went by. And without realizing the hunger, I continued with my study. And he says that when I was still listening to somebody who was reciting that lesson, and the voice of that student, it diminished, and my eyes, despite the my eyes and my ears stopped listening and seeing, and somebody I saw that there was very Indian style fried bread and some meat very nicely made, and a lot of food was there, and I had my fill, and after I finished, then I returned back to my previous condition, and I started listening that the lesson was still going on, and even at that time I had the taste of that food which I had enjoyed, and in my stomach I had the feeling as if I have taken quite a lot and my stomach was full, and I felt that all this nourishment and satisfaction I had, because as if physically when you take, then you feel the satisfaction. The same feeling was there while I didn't go anywhere and nobody saw me eating anything at all. So this was and Hazrat Khalifa Awwal Radhiyallahu Ta'ala Anhu has also mentioned a similar this incident has mentioned somewhere. Hazrat Munshi Zafar Ahmad Sahib relates that it's something happened in my presence, that in Gurdaspur, Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, he was there in connection with a case against him, and a lot of people used to come and food was prepared for them, and the cook saw that the food has been arranged for all the people according to their number, but then more guests came unexpectedly and the food was still sufficient for all of them. So then in the morning, and he related this incident regarding the morning food the next day, and he mentioned that should we prepare the same amount of food as we have cooked today, because there was a lot of more people came yesterday. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam said that, do you want to test Allah Almighty? Allah Almighty had kept our honor, and so you prepare more food today. So this help from Allah Almighty which came, that does not mean that one should go on trying Allah Almighty every time. That will not be fair and right. Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib Mukhtar Ahmad Sahib Hashmi relates about him that once he instructed me that if you have anybody who is deserving of some help, and that person would feeling shy asking for any help, then the names of such people you should send it to me, but be careful that these people are really deserving. So in such cases I used to present the names of those people, deserving people, and get them helped. Once Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, he sent some money to certain very poor people, but I kept quiet. Then Hazrat Mia Sahib looked at me and asked me, why have you kept quiet? He said that the fund, the help, the help from which we have to give the money, that is finished. There is nothing else to give to people. He put his hand lovingly on my shoulder and he said, "Don't worry, you get the overdraft and make the payment to the people. Allah Almighty will give abundant of wealth." And within next few days or weeks, a lot of money came into that fund. Sabahuddin Sahib relates regarding Hazrat Mirza Sharif Ahmad Sahib. He says that I have listened myself that when he came to England, then there during the journey, he was busy in that travel and he was doing some shopping as well. And there was also one factory to be established in Qadian. He might have been getting some information about that. So anyway, during that journey, he had employed an Englishman as a help during that journey. And he told that the fund of the travel expenses is exhausted and now it is difficult to continue this journey. So then he said, Hazrat Sharif Ahmad Sahib, don't worry, Allah Almighty, inshallah, will help us and arrangement will be made. He was an Englishman. He was very much surprised that you are a stranger in this country and how would you get all this finance arranged here? Hazrat Mir Sahib says that I prayed to Allah Almighty that, O my Allah, you help us in this foreign land. So only next day, when we were going through the market, somebody stopped him on the way. And Saint, Saint, he started calling him. And the meaning of it is that you are a pious man. He is a pious man. And he presented the check of a big amount and he requested for prayer. And this person, who was the helper of Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, he was greatly surprised. And he said that, surely your God is a wonderful God. Hazrat Sheikh Fazal Ahmad Sahib Batalwi, Raziullah Ta'ala Anhu, relates that during my journey to Dalhousie, my first wife and his brother Akbar Ali and my brother Amir Ali Sahib, they were all also traveling with us. We were going in a government carriage and it was a long official journey. In the official carriage they were going, and at in the evening we reached a certain point, and the Hindu storekeepers, they gave the tents to their own people, and their families went there, and I kept standing there. I looked around everywhere for the tent or for the house, and Akbar Ali Sahib got very much worried. The night is there. Now what will happen? I said, Khudadari Chegamdari, that you depend in Allah Almighty, you depend upon Allah Almighty, then you need not worry. Allah Almighty will definitely arrange something for us. And suddenly we saw that a person on horseback, he came and he spoke to me very nicely and he was surprised that, where are you? And I told him and then he said, you just wait on, I will just come back in a few minutes. And after that, he brought a tent and some grass and some servants were also there. And with the help of that, he pitched the tent and spread the grass and said that you settle your family here. And then another tent was set up as the toilet. And then he said, I'm going to bring the food for you, but it will take some time. And then after that, he sent the water and other provisions. And then at 11:30, he sent the very well-prepared food. And he apologized that I have been able to arrange only dal, no meat is available at this late time. And he said that you don't know me. Huzur said, he said that, yes, I remember that I have met you once. He said that you once wrote an application on my behalf and then I got the employment and I got promoted. So therefore, I am extremely thankful to you and grateful to you. And it's, he said he night, so he left certain people to take care of and guard, to serve as guard with them, and he went back. And after that, did in prostrations of gratitude to Allah Almighty, that this incident increased me in faith abundantly. Hazrat Khalifa Awwal, Raziyallahu Ta'ala Anhu, relates that once the Maharaja of Kashmir, that he asked me that you tell me that you eat pork and you unnecessarily attack other people. He used to tell the Raja of Kashmir that you eat pork and that's why you are angry. But you tell me that why the English people also eat pork, but they don't do like that. But I said that along with that pork, they also have beef. That is why it is like that. So after that, he didn't enter into any debate with me for a couple of years. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah Almighty presents that teaching in the Holy Quran, through which, by acting upon that, in this very world, one can be able to see God Almighty, as Allah Almighty says, "Man kana yarju liqa rabbi fal yamal amalan salihan, wala yushrik bi ibadati rabbihi ahada." That those people, someone who likes to, who wants to see God Almighty in this very life, who is the real Allah and the creator of everything, then he should perform such pious deeds. There, in which there is nothing wrong, and there his actions should not be for the other people to show, and not as a result of that he should have any pride, or not he should consider himself as big, and nor those actions should be defective, and there should be no stinking element in that, and nothing of disobedience, but all those things should be filled with the piety and truthfulness, and along with that one should completely abstain from setting up partners with Allah, no sun, no moon, no stars, the air, the water, the fire, nothing, anything in the world should be taken as the object of worship, and nor the worldly means should be so much respected, and one should not be, afraid of that as if they are gods, and nor we should consider our own effort as something powerful. But despite doing everything, one should consider that as if we have done nothing, and nor they should have any pride on their knowledge, nor they should be boastful of their deeds. Rather, they should consider your own self as nothing, and meek and humble, and each and every moment they should be submitting to Allah Almighty. And when you should attract the mercy of Allah Almighty, like a thirsty person who is helpless, and suddenly there is a fountain in front of him which is very delicious and very pure, and then he has taken himself with great effort and difficulty to that fountain, and he has put his lips upon that fountain, and he did not move away until he was fully satiated and satisfied. Allah Almighty, increase every Ahmadi in modesty and also in dependence upon Allah Almighty, in their steadfastness and tawakkul, and also enable them to increase their faith, and we are able to see the examples of the help and succor of Allah Almighty with us, and in our knowledge and our actions we are always increasing, and we also consider this as one of the bounties of Allah Almighty. The arrogance and the pride, we should always avoid that, and worldly thinking and should also be avoided, and the promise that Allah Almighty gave of his help and succor to the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and to his companions, Allah Almighty also enable us that we should also partake from that, and we should always be those people who are submitting totally to Allah Almighty, and those who are always trying to satiate themselves from this fountain of Allah. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر